exciting race weekend back to back in Austria. Welcome to the Forecast F1 podcast. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this weekend, especially the race that we just saw. Anton, and also joining us, Shane, this weekend. But let's start with Anton. How are you feeling after what we just saw?
Well, I think there's plenty to talk about in this podcast because, yeah, like you said, sprint weekend and I think a very exciting race on the Sunday. So good to have another guest on the podcast. Shane, welcome. I think, what did you think about this weekend?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. Well, besides, you know, the obvious in the race, I think there's still some, like, a lot of interesting points in the sprint and the race. You know, good overtakes, good battles. So I think, yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. I think it might be good to try and do it slightly chronologically because of the sprint weekends. Of course, you tend to lose track of what happened in which session on which day. So let's start at the beginning, which was the Friday, where we had a practice session where I think everybody started to... Well, we had Verstappen causing a red flag because his power unit switched off, which in the end wasn't a power unit issue. But I think a lot of us were looking back at what we had predicted into this weekend for the forecast game because, of course, blind predictions with the sprint race. So, yeah, that was a big question mark at the beginning. In the end, it didn't turn out to be the problematic part of the weekend for Verstappen. But, yeah, that's getting ahead of ourselves. other than that, I think worthwhile to mention is that they had placed new gravel traps around the track in order to attack the problem of track limits during this weekend, something that we always, it's always a reoccurring theme around the Austrian Grand Prix. And that worked quite well, but we saw immediately in the practice session already that Tsunoda touched the gravel, spun. And we would see later on that it happened a couple of more times. I think we saw Leclerc in the qualifying for the sprint. But yeah, those were the changes on the track. Other changes, or not so much changes, actually the opposite. We saw ahead of this weekend that contracts of Gasly and also Stroll were extended. I don't think those were big surprises. Well, obviously Stroll wasn't a surprise at all, and then Gasly, I think it was clear that Alpine has made the choice for him rather than Ocon. Another nice topic to talk about because we saw some nice on-track battles between those two Alpines. But yeah, I think the start of the weekend was all set and set to be very exciting. And well, I guess sprint qualifying was the first first session that we can really talk about. Sam, how did you, well, that was on Friday morning.
It was. Mm-hmm.
And did you watch it live?
No, I did not actually watch it live. I was working, but I did, of course, watch it. And I would say that there are a few things that ultimately weren't too much of a surprise. Max securing pole position for the qualifying and the sprint. I would say, though, that he was averaging some pretty strong times, so that was something that was impressive. We saw the Mercedes also at the top of SQ1, SQ2 for Russell in second, and then ultimately he landed in fourth. And also the McLarens, the speed of the McLarens once again remaining consistent.
And Shane, what did you make of the issues that Ferrari had towards the latter part of the qualifying for the sprint with Leclerc?
Well, whether Ferraris are, you know, placed in the qualifying and the sprint qualifying, the regular qualifying, it's not, I don't think we're shocked to see where they ended up. Of course, the issues with the engine stalling, Leclerc not making the line to get his run in. Yeah, it's a little bit Ferrari all over again with the issues, probably communication, some reliability. I can say I'm not surprised to see them in those positions. A little bit that they're dropping off from like previous races. Let's say Monaco, for example. If we see where Ferrari is now, it's a little bit shocking.
Yeah, they've gone downhill after Monaco. I think overall, looking at the results for the sprint qualifying, there was no major shocks, like Sam, like you said. I mean, Verstappen on pole, the two McLarens right behind it. I think we would all agree that that's probably what we expected going into the weekend. Perez, again, not really making it that much further than he usually does in the last couple of races. He started on P7. And I guess the biggest upset was Sargeant out-qualifying Albon.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a surprise for Sargeant, something that we're not used to seeing on his end.
But other than that, I think, no major upsets. Going into the sprint race for us very early on the Saturday morning, I think all in all, the sprint race was quite... It was quite exciting, especially in the first part of the sprint race, where we saw a good battle, which I guess we're all hoping for with the Red Bulls and one Red Bull and the two McLarens. And what did you, Shane? How did you? Was it exciting?
It was a very exciting sprint race. Not only the top three, obviously, the two McLarens and Verstappen, but also a little bit down further down the pack with the Mercedes and Aston Martin. But I think the most surprising was the overtake of Piastri on his teammate. Norris battling with Verstappen, and basically Piastri taking the victory out of that battle, which was very exciting, and expecting from my side to see that happening.
Yeah, it all happened within one lap, basically. I think it was lap 5, where first it was Norris overtaking Verstappen, and then Norris basically keeping the door open in turn 4, I think, and Verstappen re-overtaking him, and like you said, Piastri making good use of that too. And I think for the remainder of the sprint, unfortunately, Piastri just didn't have enough pace to keep up with Max, and he also kept Norris behind him, so... other than that big fight on lap, we saw a couple of overtakes actually on the first lap with the Ferraris. Sainz overtook Russell, who would later re-overtake Sainz to finish in fourth. Leclerc moved up a couple of positions. Like we said, he started 10th. He ended up 7th during the sprint race, so he regained a couple of positions. So no major. In the end. The teams that you would expect to finish in the first eight finished in the first eight, and a couple of other things like you mentioned with Aston Martin, Shane, there was a little bit of a fight between Hülkenberg and Alonso, who was pushed off the track by Alonso. I'm not sure. Did he get a penalty for that in the end?
I don't think so. Can't remember.
Yeah. Well, in the end, it wasn't for the points anyway.
Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't a really strong weekend coming out of Alonso's side. That's for sure.
I think one of the funny things we saw with the sprint race was that we had two formation laps where apparently there were photographers on turn one that were not in safe position. So that's the reason why we had a second formation lap. At the time, it wasn't very clear what the reason was. I guess we were all sort of second guessing. So perhaps that build up to a little bit longer climax as we would have expected. But I think it was exciting. It was a good start to Saturday. And of course, we all knew that we would have another session on the Saturday, which would be the qualifying for the race, where, I guess it's time to dive into that. I think it was clear that it was dominated by one man and one man alone.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like I said before, I think that Max this weekend prior to the race really was once again in a form of his own. I mean, he was quite ahead in terms of the qualifying as well, and he was maximizing that. I mean, you had touched on the fact earlier on that a lot of us, in terms of our picks this weekend, myself included, were under the assumption that he was going to face a grid penalty as a result of a possible power unit change, which didn't take place. So, I mean, here he is just at the top again in a really strong position. So, again, fantastic result for Max securing pole. And then, of course, we move along to seeing not a big surprise, but a pleasant one, I think, at this point. Again, the strength of the McLarens and specifically Lando. Actually, I should take that back because Piastri also had a good run, but unfortunately, he had breached track limits and that resulted in him starting on Sunday in seventh. What did we think about that? Because it was, did you guys obviously saw him touch the gravel? I mean, it was such a small margin too.
Yeah, he touched the gravel because they put, obviously, the new gravel traps. But I don't think we saw, like, really a good angle to see if the tire really went over the line. At least I didn't see any good angle to determine, okay, was it correct? Did he the time deletion, yes or no? But I think the majority, they went with the gravel traps. He touched the gravel, so probably they assumed he would cross the line. I think McLaren even, they appealed it, the time deletion, but yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, apparently they didn't appeal in the right way, so that's why it was turned over. But until this moment, I haven't seen any really 100% clear images to confirm it. But I think, Shane, you mentioned it right after the race. If Piastri wouldn't have had those track limits, it might have been him who had finished the race in P1.
I think he was, I can't recall correctly if it was P2 or P3 before the time deletion. I think it was
P3.
P3.
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows what would have happened. If he really started P3, maybe in the first turn, could be some issues, I don't know. But theoretically speaking, it could be a complete different outcome of the race we saw today.
Yeah, and I think earlier on I already mixed up a different session because it was actually during this qualifying session where Leclerc got into the gravel. And that means that Tsunoda didn't get into the gravel on pre-practice, but that was on the sprint qualifying session. Anyway, it was Norris who got into the gravel on the training. But reverting back to the qualifying session, so two bad sessions for Leclerc, both on the Friday and on the Saturday. Another driver with bad sessions was Joe, who finished last twice this weekend on qualifying. And I think Perez probably also wasn't the happiest with the gap between him and Verstappen almost being 9 tenths. Although you've got to say that Verstappen really was clear of the field by a large margin. He was also ahead of Norris by 4 tenths. So again, dominated by one man, the rest behind it. It was quite exciting. And I'm unfortunate for Piastri. And quite a good result for Russell, I feel. And seems like he's been having the upper hand of Hamilton on most of the qualifying sessions this season. I'm not so sure if in the race, usually he actually performs better on race pace than Hamilton, but because of consistently starting up on higher grip positions, he claims good results, and he would again do so today. But I think dissecting the race, there's a lot of things to talk about. So before we get to the end of the race, let's start a little bit at the beginning. Yeah, now there really is a lot of talking points. I think when we started the race, we saw in the first lap I think two main overtakes that deserve mentioning. I think it was Hamilton who overtook Sainz off track, although Sainz also pushed him off, so there wasn't really any place to go for him. And Perez overtook Piastri, but also pushing him off track. I thought that one actually was a little bit deserved a little bit more looking into. He didn't end up with a penalty, but I really did think Perez was pushing Piastri off track. But again, all 20 drivers making it clean through the first lap without any DNFs, although Leclerc did end up having to pit for a new front wing.
It's just, for Leclerc specifically, this weekend was really, I don't know if it's bad luck, what you would call it at this point, but yeah, ever since he won in Monaco, after that, he's just had a series of unfortunate events. And this weekend, definitely there was no shortage of that. And so really starting the race in a position where he immediately had to box, and that's put him behind. Just an unfortunate result for him, which hopefully he can bounce back moving forward into Silverstone.
Definitely. I think Yeah, no, it's not been like Shane said at the beginning. I mean, since Monaco, it's been a tough set of weeks. Although, of course, there was a Ferrari on the podium in the end. Although, not sure if Sainz even knew how he ended up there. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So the beginning of the race, we had a good battle between the two Mercedeses, who kept it quite clean, Hamilton and Russell. We had Piastri then a couple of laps later overtaking Perez, taking that place back from him. And there was a couple of interesting battles. The field kept there was a, I guess somewhat of some DRS trains, so that's one of the reasons why the field wasn't really spread out too far, except for Leclerc, of course, battling out at the back with Sargeant and Joe, but that was for other reasons. I don't know how many pit stops Leclerc made in the end. Did you count them?
I think at the end he made four pit stops. I think three or four pit stops. Yeah. He made at the end.
And we saw a couple of other battles also that were not really for the points. Alonso shoving Joe off track and getting a 10-second penalty. That looked clumsy with a lockup. And talking about penalties, there were quite a couple of penalties around pit lane incidents, mostly for crossing the line on pit entry. One for Hamilton, reported by Oscar Piastri, and another one for Albon, I think. And then Perez was speeding in the pit lane. So the pit lane, and there was also some pretty close calls. I think the first one when Verstappen and Norris pitted. There was an investigation for an unsafe release. In the end, I felt it was good that was not penalized, no?
Yeah. I agree, yeah. I don't think it warranted a penalty at that point in time. But also, I mean, the penalties were flying left, right, and center. I think that was the most, the first 40 laps, that's the most activity we were seeing, was the penalties being given out to everybody. And I would also say that at one point for Haas, obviously there was a little bit of a battle between Magnussen and his engineer when they were asking him to not battle his own teammate, and he wasn't too happy about that. But I think for them, the end result was clearly a positive one for Haas, probably their best one of the season. The first bit of the race, the first half of the race, for the most part, was a lot. We just saw a lot of penalties, and like you said, once we got into that DRS train, things seemed to settle down for the most part.
Yeah, I think the penalties were like quite surprising. If you see previous years, we had penalties, you know, left, center, and right for track limits, people going wide. That was not really the case this year. But then we see people getting penalties for crossing the entry, like the wide entry line of the pit lane, which actually never really happened before. So which was actually pretty surprising how we did. I don't think we saw the one from Albon.
No, right.
We don't see that on the replay. We saw the one from Hamilton. It was a little bit unfortunate, of course, you know, sliding the rear end over the line. I think it was a little bit of bad luck, not really intentional, of course. But it was surprising to see that we had quite some penalties that were non-track limits related, let's say that.
Yeah, and Sam, you mentioned that battle between Kevin and Nico, and actually that was an interesting one because we were here also saying, look, you're not fighting, you shouldn't be fighting each other. You're actually both in the fight for points. I think they both made some good strategy decisions by pitting very early. And I guess degradation was probably a bit higher than everyone had expected beforehand. So pitting early definitely was a good call. And they should have been saving their tires. And yeah, it was funny when Magnussen was on the radio asking if Nico was also told the same thing. But in the end, they did keep it relatively clean. I think there was just one lockup from Magnussen. But I think early on, they probably agreed with everyone and got their noses in the right direction. I think Ayuko Matsuo is doing a great job as a team principal there. He seems to be managing the two drivers really as a team. I think we've seen it several races during this season that they actually do work as a team, which is not something you can necessarily say for the two Alpines. I think between
I was laps, waiting for that
36 and 41. Yeah, I think that was. I mean, look, I'm not complaining. I mean, for me, it's exciting to see. Mm-hmm. It's nice when drivers are left to fight each other on track. I'm not sure if it was clean all the way. I was actually expecting Ocon to also get a penalty, even though it's his teammate. I mean, I think he clearly pushed Gasly off track, didn't get a penalty for that. It was nice with some commentary from Alonso right behind him. Of course, the old Ocon teammate. Yeah, I think it was great to watch. It went on for a couple of laps. And in the end, Ocon looking more, having a better performance in the qualifying. But in the end, it's Gasly who's taking a point home for the team. I think all those points are very important for Alpine. As we were talking both about Haas and Alpine, Shane, I think, what did you say? How many points did...
I think Haas scored 12 points today in one race. And I think that was their total last season. Yeah. Like the whole season last year, I think. More or less, maybe I'm a few points off. But at least it's a big chunk
of points for them. We're not even halfway the season. So
I think before the race, they had like 7 points, I think, right. if I'm correct. 12 points in one race, that's quite a lot for them, to secure their seventh place, trying to get to the sixth place in the standings.
Yeah, and of course, you usually, you know, these things usually happen when you see a lot of DNFs. We only saw one DNF today. Of course, as mentioned, Leclerc didn't end up in the points, although it was suggested by his engineer that he would. So I don't know if he's claiming anything back on that. But
that's something we were both surprised when we heard that statement over the radio, like he was still fighting for points or something in this way. I think at the end he ended up P11. I think it was.
That's all. I mean. We didn't hear Charles's response on the radio to that, I would have liked to hear. But anyway, yeah. And with the Aston Martins dropping off, I think for the last few weekends we've seen that their performance is not where it has been beginning of the season and especially last season. So with the Aston Martins dropping off, that leaves space for two teams fighting for 2 point scoring positions left open for a lot of teams to fight for, which is exciting to see. I think at the beginning of the season, I knew which 5 teams, which 10 cars I would be putting in my prediction on the first 10 spots, and it's becoming a bit more difficult. And I think we all very happy for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who would have predicted seeing both Haas drivers finishing with the result that they did? I mean, like you said, Shane, 12 points. I mean, that's an extremely large, satisfying result for them leaving this weekend, and it puts them in a position that maybe even surprises themselves going into the rest of the season. So it's a fantastic result. I mean, obviously Alpine, there's clearly no love lost between those two, and it's an interesting comparison in terms of team dynamics between those two as well, because you have one, both are relatively in a competitive comparable situation. But one seems to be doing a little bit more as a result, a positive result, based on just the team environment and utilizing the ability to work together as a team to improve their results. Whereas you have the contrast of Alpine, who their car has improved. There's no denying that. And they have two incredible drivers. But the team actual dynamic and unity just seems to be... not the greatest, but it does make for entertaining battles, and I was thoroughly entertained, just like the two of you, to watch that happen.
So we were already entertained up until that point, and then the race switched on, because at lap 52 we saw both Verstappen and Norris pitting, and Verstappen had a problem with the left rear getting off, and that pit stop took him 6.5 seconds. I think at that point when they went into the pits, not exactly sure, but the gap must have been around 8 seconds or 7.5, something like that. And all of a sudden it was reduced to 3 seconds. And then they both got back on track. Verstappen had a lockup, I think, into turn 3, if I'm not mistaken. And then all of a sudden, Norris was very close to be within DRS range, which he then ended up being, actually, I think, on the next lap or so. And from that moment onward, we would get a very exciting race. And I think one of the best, parts of races that we've seen this year, if not the best. Of course, I suppose we all agree that Canada was a great race overall, but of course that had to do a lot with weather conditions, and this was a race that really was a race. And there were a couple of exciting facts going into that latter part of the race. I think one being that Verstappen had already used an extra set of medium tires during the training, so he was on a used set of tires. And as we said, tire degradation was relatively high here in Austria, so that was a bit of an advantage to Norris. On the other hand, Norris had had a black and white flag for track limits, so that put him in a little bit more precarious spot. And yeah, from that point onward, it was you know, it was a free for all. It was a race until the end. Well, not really until the end for both of them.
Not really, no.
Till it ended for one person.
It ended in tears. But I think before that point, before it ended in tears, there was a good of I think there was a good overtake from Norris, bit of a dive bomb. Actually, there was one overtake from Norris, which where he gave the position back because he also overtook him sort of off track, or he slid off track. Going into lap 63, it was coming together. I think before that there was already several times where Norris was trying to overtake on DRS, Verstappen moving a little bit under the braking zones, and Norris complaining about that on the radio, and then it all came together.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a battle. I think that for the McLaren side, for Lando, I mean, yes, he was dive bombing a few times, but honestly, I thought it was exciting. I mean, that's what you, in my opinion, that's what you want to see. You want to see drivers actually trying to battle and be willing to risk it to make that move. And when you're competing against someone like Max, I mean, in some respects, you kind of have to make that move and be aggressive in order to get there, because you know that on his side, he's going to match that. The underbraking moves, I mean, I think that they were definitely questionable on Max's side. We did see a little bit of the old Max that we would see when him and Lewis were battling at a few times.
Definitely.
And he did end up receiving a 10-second penalty as a result. I think that the penalty probably, my assumption, came more from not necessarily the last overtake attempt that Lando had that resulted in his DNF, unfortunately, and Max with his puncture. But I think that it was over the course of the three attempts, because there was a few moments where Max had those
sorry,
questionable.
We're laughing because there's a bird flying against the window here, but we're not laughing on you, sir. Go on.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, the bird clearly wants to know what's going on. But yeah, I think that it was over the course of the three actual attempts, and I think all three times he had a few moments where you're going in the underbraking zone. So yeah, I think by the third one, the penalty, in my opinion, was deserved, and it is unfortunate, because I think ultimately it's really exciting to see the battle, to see Max be in a position where he is having to fight for that spot. We haven't typically seen that since him and Lewis, really, for the most part. And we're now starting to see, over the course of the last several race weekends, there's a lot more pressure being applied. So to see the drivers in a position where they're under a high pressure situation in really sharp turns too on this track, I'm not surprised that these things would happen. I almost think that they're inevitable, but at the same time, it's unfortunate for the result for Lando. It's a disappointing result for Lando. And I think that for the most part, he was doing a respectful drive, although he was really, it was more bold than anything. And I do believe that that is what you need to do in order to try to secure the top podium spot in a position like that. What were both of your thoughts when it came to the battles?
Yeah, I think we can all agree that it was bound to happen at some point, that they would come together. Maybe not necessarily this week, but like over the past few weeks, they're closing in, they're battling more each other. I even think Max said after the race, like, you're not racing for P2, right? Like you're racing for the race win. And I think both are very, very talented and both want to win. I think over the course of the race, yeah, I think maybe from both sides were like a few questionable moves, so to speak. Still fair, but maybe a little bit questionable in some parts. I think the penalty was also deserved. Honestly, but I do think if there was no puncture, no damage, no whatsoever going on in that race, I do not think that would have resulted to a penalty of 10 seconds. I think it's because of the consequences of the collision that the penalty came out. But I agree, it is deserved for Verstappen.
Yeah, it would have been, I guess when they got together, they sort of got together twice. So Verstappen was going into that corner and then he still moved to the outside before moving towards the apex. And that's when he hit Norris. Then that's when Verstappen himself got the puncture. And then Norris tried to turn in and then got his puncture by hitting the wheelbase of Verstappen. So I agree. Probably if that would just have been wheel banging without a puncture, I doubt the penalty would have been given. What I find interesting is that, of course, Norris DNF'd, but like I mentioned earlier, he had already had that black and white flag. And then just a few laps before this coming together, Norris overtook Verstappen but went off track too. And even that's not like, you know, the slight track limit that is usually penalized, but also overtaking and going off track counts as going off track. So I would have been interesting to see whether Norris would have still gotten a penalty for that, because I think he would have gotten that. So I think if they both would have stayed on track, Norris probably would have gotten that penalty and would have finished P2, not P1. But of course, yeah, in the end, Norris DNF'd, so he didn't get any points. Verstappen still finished fifth. So, you mentioned earlier, Sam, that you thought that Verstappen might have gotten grip penalties. I got a lot of questions this weekend prior to the race. I think he changed his power unit from Canada to Spain. And then he basically for Spain used his fourth power unit. So that's still within the regulations. I don't think anything happened in Spain. So I don't think there were any penalties on the brink. But with you thinking that there might be, I think you placed Verstappen more or less at the right position with your predictions. But I think we'll get to that in a little bit.
Probably was before, the only one I was right on.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself, Sam. You might be in for a good one, but we'll see about that in a bit. I think first, before talking about Russell actually going away with it and winning the race, I think what was interesting after that was that actually Piastri still overtook Sainz in a lap after that and basically secured himself a P2, which was perhaps a little bit overshadowed by what happened between Verstappen and Norris, but I think that was an interesting overtake too. So in the end, we ended up with a podium with Russell on the top step and Piastri second, Sainz third. Not something any of us had really expected.
No, I don't think not anything that even Russell expected. So, but a great result for him nonetheless. He's had a great string of results over the last three races, and this is another one to add to it.
Yeah, I mean he's been good on qualifying recently. I mean, especially with that pole in Canada, and he doesn't always seem to be able to convert things into race performance. But well, today of course by being lucky. But I mean, you know, you've got to be there when other people crash. You've got to be the person that's right behind it to win the race, and he was.
Yeah, I think even George Russell mentioned it. Was it yesterday in an interview or something? He was asked about it, and he literally said like, "Yeah, I'm just have to wait." Or in some of these words, we just have to wait until the two of them come together in the front, and then we take the advantage of this, which actually happened. So he predicted something very. Very good.
He's probably better at predicting than all of us, but
I was gonna say that.
Well,
Okay, so I think it's about that time that we get into the scores. As we all know, this weekend was a blind prediction, so it always is going to make for an interesting result. And Anton, let's start with how many people played the game this weekend.
Yes, so we had 875 people this weekend playing the game. And yeah, like you said, I mean, blind predictions, and then with a sprint and a race outcome that were quite different from one another, let's just say. I think if you look at the final finishing positions of the sprint, it's not the most surprising result, although I guess Piastri there on P2 and Norris, I think those most people would have had the other way around. So what ends up happening in the game is that we've had a higher average score for the sprint race in the game compared to the actual race. So there was an average of 16.5 points scored during the sprint and 16 points scored during the race. So that has never happened before, which means we have an average score of 32.5 this weekend, which is low even if it were a regular race weekend, even more so if you think that, yeah, I think an average score of 16, something like that, probably only happened around the Singapore Grand Prix, if I'm thinking last year. So yeah, very low scores, and the lowest score overall was 9 for actually the two races together. And yeah, I want to hear from the both of you how many people you think had a correct sprint podium predicted and a correct race podium predicted. And well, the person that gets closest to it will have to start the quiz, or can pick who starts the quiz later on. So Sam, how many people do you think correctly predicted that order of the podium for the sprint, with Verstappen on 1, Piastri 2nd, and Norris 3rd?
Well, I think there's obviously, judging by the point results, there is going to be some people with that choice. So I'm going to go with 13, lucky number 13.
All right. And for the race podium?
Well, I already thought about this, and I'm going to say nobody.
All right. Shane?
Oh, for the sprint podium. So 13 was said. I think it would be 25.
And for the race?
I think somebody would have done it. So I would say 1.
All right. Okay. Well, for the sprint, we had 7 people who went with that podium, with that order. So that one goes to Sam. And Sam, you're right. There was no one who had that race podium.
wow, we started well.
Yeah, I think I think a podium of Russell, Piastri, Sainz is not a, well, again, 875 people to play in the game. It could have happened. It didn't. The highest score that we had only for the sprint points was scored by a player from Sri Lanka, Indunil Utpalanjana. She scored 31.5 points for the sprint alone. But that didn't get her to P1 for the weekend. This weekend's forecast F1 was won by Cayetano Vasquez from Spain with 61.9 points. Actually, the first time that he ever played the game. So that's a nice way of starting it. He scored 29.5 for the sprint and 32.4 for the race. On P2, James Roberts from Czech Republic, 60.3 points. 20.3 in the sprint and 40 points in the race. And then on P3 is Ilse Laschuit from Curaçao with 53 points, scoring 20 in the race and 20 for the sprint and 33 for the race, getting to a total of 53. So not very high podium scores, not what we are used to with sprint races, but of course that has everything to do with how the race unfolded. As a result, we don't have any new high scores, not worldwide, and also not in the different continents. And looking at the countries, also not a lot of things happened. Pakistan went up 2 places, overtaking both Austria and Bosnia, Austria on their home turf. So with that being said, we look at the standings, and we see that Rosario Vinci from France, who was on P1, remains on P1, but scored only 29 points. So that's not a whole lot. He has now a total of 674.9 points. And Our previous P2, Annelie Beumer from the Netherlands, scored 36, and with that she drops to P3, which means we have a new P2, which is Taha Umar from Turkey, and he scored 48 points this weekend, finished actually P19, so he finished in the top 20 for this weekend, and now on P2. I started to think a little bit, and I was wondering, do the two of you actually make a different prediction for the race in the sprint? Because there is people who, who just copy their first eight from the race to their sprint prediction. Do you guys mix it up between sprint and race?
I do. Yes, I definitely think it's a good opportunity to try.
For me the same. I mix it up because, okay, you go into only one practice session, of course, I think after the first, sprint or sprint race, they tune their car a little bit for the qualifying with the eye on the race. So I think for me personally, I will always change the top eight at least for a race.
So now a question, how many people out of 875 do you think had exactly the same order of drivers in P1 until P8 for the sprint as they did for the race? How many people out of 875 just copied their first eight from the race to the sprint?
That's a good question.
Good question, actually. I think a lot of people will still do it. I'm not going to say half. I would say 125 people.
Sam?
Oh, I feel like this is maybe a trick question. I'm going to go with a low number. I'm going to say 11.
Oh, you're closer to the right answer. There were 33 people who had exactly the same first eight in the same order as they did in the race. So that's only 3.8%, which led me to check from the first three sprint races that we had. So that was China, Miami, and Austria. If for the podium finishes, if there was anyone there who had who was one of those people predicting the first eight for the sprint as for the race, I checked that, and that hasn't happened yet. So, I don't know. Just something outside of the ordinary. Yeah. So let's move to our scores. I think we ought to start with you, Sam. As you mentioned, you had Verstappen on P5, so you actually had him on the right spot. What was your race podium? Do you remember?
Oh, I certainly hope I do at this point, because I mean, we've obviously done a few picks, but I believe that I had Norris winning the race, and I had Norris and Piastri, and I believe Leclerc.
You had Norris, Hamilton, Piastri.
Hamilton.
And, and for the sprint, you went with Verstappen, Norris, Russell. You scored 15.5 points for the sprint, and you scored a staggering 31.6 points for the race, which I don't mean sarcastically, because that's actually quite a lot. As I mentioned, the average score in the race was only 16, so that adds up to a total of 47.1 points. Sam, that means you finished 24th.
Wow.
from everyone.
Really?
So a very, very decent result for you. Yes.
Wow.
Pleasantly surprised
up,
with that.
The ladder. Yeah, because
a little bit,
You were somewhere around P180 a couple of races back. You're now moving from P87 to P47, so you're in the top 50 now.
Wow, okay, well, I just hope that I can hold that. That's my only hope. But that's a nice, pleasant surprise. To be honest, I when I saw the result, I wasn't that confident. But, you never know what happens in these races. This weekend was a clear indicator of that.
You outscored both of us, actually. Shane, let's start with you. Sprint podium, race podium, what did you go with?
I went with the same top three, if I remember, but in a different order. I think for the sprint, I put Norris first, Verstappen second, and Leclerc third. And for the race, I put Verstappen first, Norris second, and Leclerc third.
That's
which,
right.
Which obviously was a big mistake on the P3, but...
Who would have known?
Yeah, who would have known? Exactly.
You scored 11.3 in the sprint and 13 points in the race, so that gets to a total of 24.3 points. Means you finished P768.
Oh, wow.
Even your brother outscored you with a point.
Yeah.
Doesn't regularly happen either.
No. Normally I will, yeah. And I was
Anton,
D17
just rubbing
last
the salt
week.
In
yeah, a little bit.
I'm good at that. I'm
I think for
yeah,
last week,
David
I was
caught
P7. Yeah, I think it was P17 last week, I think, overall standings. And I'm not really sure if I want to know now how much I dropped down.
Where did you finish last season?
27?
Yeah, and you're back on P27.
Oh, it's actually better than I imagined.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you dropped a few places, but of course, there were more people.
I think it was for everybody this week. The points were not as expected. So true. I think a lot of people suffered.
Yeah, that's definitely so. I went with a sprint podium of Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, and also with a race podium of Verstappen, Norris, Piastri. I scored 20.4 points during the sprint, but only 14.1 points during the race, which means a total of 34.5. I finished P326, which does mean I'm actually climbing up from P25 to P22, meaning I just overtook you, Shane.
Okay.
Jeez, I'm not even sure how that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can check the numbers on your own time if you want to.
There's always next week. Next week we'll go back for that place.
Yeah, actually, we're in a triple header, so next week's going to be really quick.
That's right.
Well, next week, I guess next week is always seven days, but neither can I. but before we go and talk about Silverstone, let's play a little quiz. I think you both know which quiz I'm talking about. So we're going to predict how many people in the game predicted the right finishing positions. We usually only do this for the race when it's a sprint weekend, but I think it would be good to do both the sprint and the race as they're quite different. So I think that will give us some exciting different results. But yeah, let's not wait any longer. Let's get into it. So Sam, you were closer with your predictions for both the podiums. So up to you. Do you want to start or do you want to give the start to Shane?
I'll start. So we're going with the first one, which is Verstappen winning the sprint, right?
Yes.
Are we starting?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go with 671.
I'm going with 620.
All right.
Ooh, close.
Yeah, the right answer is in the middle, but closer to Shane's answer. So there was 634 people who went with...
Ooh, it's pretty close.
Yeah, it is pretty close. So that one goes to Shane. Shane, then we go right into the next one, which is Piastri, who finished second during the sprint.
I'm going with 40.
Okay, I'm going to say 82.
Ooh, it's fewer than what both of you said. It's only 19 people who went with that. So
that's surprising.
Not a lot of people who had Piastri. Yeah, yeah.
I think the most people would have Piastri on three.
Yeah, I guess
instead of two.
Like I did. Yeah, for example.
Yeah, that's
but,
fair.
All right. Second point that goes to Shane means we go to Sam for Norris on P3, the other McLaren.
Norris P3, I'm going to say, I'm going to stick to the 300s and say 323.
I'm going with 220.
220. It, again, fewer than what both of you are going for. It's only 139 people, but that, again, means Shane's closer to the right answer. So, Sam, it's... you've got some ground to make up.
Yeah, I'm about to score more points in this game than in the actual forecast.
I mean, it's a familiar place for me to be in, so that's fine.
All right. Well, it's actually Shane who goes for P4, Russell.
I'm not really 100% sure of this, but I think 150. Well, nice round number.
All right. Since everybody's lowballing it, I'm going to go with 62.
Yeah, this, well, I mean, it's lower than what Shane said. That's right. But not, oh, no, sorry. It's not lower than what Shane said. Shane went with 150. It's 161 people. Sorry. So it's actually more this time. But again, it means it's a point for Shane.
Listen to you laughing.
Sorry,
I already know. Somehow I feel
it's
like the apology is not that genuine over there.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I've had the I've listened to the Canadian anthem already a couple of times, so
that's true.
Might be good for switching that up. But there's still a lot of places to be predicted. First of all, signs on P5, which is yours, Sam.
Signs on P5. I'm going to say 121.
I'm going for 400.
Whoa. Okay, well, Shane's gifting this point to you, Sam. It's actually funny. I'm writing down who gets the point. So, so far I've written down SSS, but both your names start with S. So that's not really a very, very clever one.
About getting the points.
This one's for Sam, though. Yeah, I'm counting all. Sam, it was 182. So, only 60
close
away
enough
from what... 61 away with what you went with. So... that's your first point, and that means we go to the second Mercedes finish for the sprint race, P6, Hamilton. Shane.
Well, I think I'm going to be like way too high anyway again. I was thinking about 500 people.
Sam.
I'm going to stick to the 200s and say 212.
Both of you are overestimating it. It's 127 people, so that means another point gifted to Sam, and we're four against two. You're making up ground. That's very good. Sam, P7, Leclerc.
P7, Leclerc. I'm going to say 64.
I'm going with 30.
Shane, you're only 18 places off. But Sam's only 16 places
Ooh.
Off. It's 48. It's right
oh.
in the middle. So that
one
also goes to Sam, which means it's getting a lot closer. It's 4-3. Might be nice to get a sprint tie, but let's see. It's Perez on P8, and that's Shane's guess.
It's another high number, and I think this is going to be maybe closer. 550.
Okay, I agree with you on it being a higher number, since lately this is Perez's comfortable place to be in. But I'm going to go to the fours and say 400. Let's do 444.
It's 266. So actually,
wow.
That means Sam's closer. Yeah, it's you're both going with very high numbers. So that means it's actually the sprint is a tie. It's 4-4. That's nice. That's a nice little warm-up, so it's going to be decided by the race. And actually, Sam, you also correctly predicted the amount of podiums for the race, so again, it's up to you. Do you want to start with P1? I guess P1's an exciting one to guess to start with, because, up to you. Do you want to bite it off?
No, you know what? I'm going to give it to Shane this time.
All right.
Okay. I think some people would have done it, you know, just a lucky guess. So I'm going with 3.
Okay, I'm going to pick 1.
Okay, that's really nice. It's 2 people, so it's
wow.
you're both only 1 off. And I think we did this last season. If it were only so little people, we also mentioned the people that that correctly predicted that. So actually it's interesting that both people who had Russell on P1 didn't end up on the podium. It was Francesco Tanti from Malta and Lisette Delgado from Mexico, who both had Russell as P1, but didn't score enough points to make it to the podium this weekend. But that means it's still a draw between the two of you. I'll count a point for each one. And we'll move on to, again, Piastri finishing second, both in the sprint and in the race. How many people had him there? We already concluded that it was 19 people who had him on the sprint podium at P2. How many people did so in the race? Sam, it's your go.
I'm going to say 9.
I'm going with a lower number than the sprint. I'm going with 30.
30, 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you went with 40 for the sprint. It was 12 people. So that one goes to Sam. Sam's only 3 away from the correct answer, which means we move back to Shane. You're predicting how many people had signs on the third spot of the podium?
I'm probably going to be way too high again. I'm thinking 355.
I'm going to go with 34.
That's another point for Sam, Sam, because it was 64 people.
Wow.
Only 64 people. Not too many people had so much confidence that there would be a Ferrari on the podium.
I'm putting too much trust in people.
And you
seems
had, you
like,
had the other
so
Ferrari on the podium twice.
Yeah,
but,
you know, also a mistake.
All right, all right. Means we go to Hamilton for Sam on P4.
Hamilton P4, I feel like more people will have chosen him, so, but I think it still will be relatively low. So I'm going to say 42.
I'm not going with the number I wrote down before, that's for sure. I would say 175.
Nice, that's actually very close. It's 168 people.
Ooh.
Oh, that was really close.
So yeah. What are we now with points? Let me just do a quick count. That's 6 for Shane, and that's 7 for Sam.
Ooh, we're close. We're
is that right? Or
it's
is it
definitely
8?
A
I'm counting.
Uh-oh.
No, we lost count.
No, we didn't lose
count. He lost
count.
What's going
it's
on here?
No, it was correct. It's 6 against 7. No. Yeah, so we moved to no, I was confused because you both got a point for Russell because that was in the middle, and that's what threw me off. Anyway, we moved to Verstappen on P5. Shane, we already concluded that Sam had him on P5. How many people besides Sam did?
She's the only one. Only one person put Max on P5.
Only one person, crazy enough. All right, Sam, what are you saying?
I'm going to say 3 people. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change it. No, I'm going to stick to 3. I'll stick to the number 3.
All right. Sam, that's your point. It was 5 people, actually. Actually, I don't know if Sam, if you had inside information, because actually Ajit also had him on P5. So,
I was just going to... I did not know. But I was going to ask you
did,
that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was he one of the 5? So that's interesting.
Yeah. So it was you, and then there was 2 people from Dominican Republic, René Moya and Anderson Ferreira. Then it was Ajit Singh and Arnos Krenovsky from Czech Republic. So we had 5 people, which brings us, which brings another point to Sam, and which brings us to Hülkenberg on P6. That's an interesting one, I would say.
Okay, this one's my go, I guess.
It is.
I'm going to go with 6.
I'm going with 4.
Okay, all right. That's your point, Shane, because it was only one person.
Wow.
Only one person, which was Alex McLean from United Kingdom. So only one person scoring those 8 points for Hülkenberg. And that brings us to Perez, P7.
Ooh, it's my turn, I guess. Yes. I'm going, in the 200s, 280.
Okay, I'm gonna say 180.
Okay, yeah, that's it's lower than both of that. It's 130. Another point for Sam.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be a tough one to win, Shane. But you might as well give it your last shot for P8. Or wait, is it no? It's Sam who goes first, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, Sam, you go for Magnussen on P8.
Well, I'm going to say 2 people.
I'm going for 9.
It was again only one person who had this Haas on the right spot. So
there's not many Haas believers participating.
Definitely not. It was Vuk Ninkovic from Serbia who was the only person scoring those 4 points for Magnussen in the game. And that brings us to Ricardo, the only V-carb scoring points this weekend. Shane?
I think 35.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 21.
Ooh, nice, Sam. It was only 20 people, so you're only one place off. Yeah.
Ooh,
that's a very
impressive
good guess.
Yeah, that's a very good guess indeed. We go to the last point scoring position because the point for fastest lap was not given out, although we will also guess it. But let's go first to the only Alpine in the points this weekend, Gasly.
Whose go is it? Mine?
Yes, it is.
Okay, sorry. I am going to say 5.
I'm going with 12.
No, there's a few more people believing in the Alpines. There was a 181 people who went with that. Yeah,
that's quite a few.
You can see what number I wrote. Well, what number I wrote down
initially
first.
Initially, you had Gasly for 90. So it was 100. It's even doubled that. Incredible. Let's even though that point for fastest lap was not given out, I do want to know how many people you think had Alonso for fastest lap.
I'm going to say. Shane. Sorry, it's your go.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't think that many. I would think 5.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be a lot, but I'll go up and say 7.
It was fewer than that. It was only one person. Jacobo Arisa from Spain was the only person, but doesn't score the point because, as the concept of the game is, you can only score the points that the driver score. If the driver doesn't finish in the top 10 and finishes with fastest lap, he doesn't get the point. So neither does Jacobo from Spain, unfortunately for him, but would have only been 1 point anyway. So I think the score is I closed my book, but I think it was pretty clear that it was Sam that won it. Sam, how many points did you score for?
How many points did I score? Well, I'm
you
gonna
scored
say
11 points. 11.
11 oh, points.
Yeah, that wasn't a question to
you're
guess.
The score I was gonna say you're the scorekeeper over there. What do you mean? But 11 points
against 9
awesome.
Points for Shane. So,
so 11 so against 9. Yeah, I thought it's not that bad. Yeah. I thought I would have scored worse.
Yeah, but no, it can always be worse.
So is it possible that we add these points to the forecast, or is that not allowed?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not something we typically do. But I will give some thought over it. I guess you know the answer. No. Interesting, and actually. Especially when we have, unexpected finishing positions, it's always interesting to see how many people get those right, which means it's time to look ahead to another normal format weekend in Silverstone in only 1 week's time, or depending on when you're listening to the forecast, it might be even fewer days. What are you guys looking forward to on that British track?
Oh, I'm always looking forward to the race in Silverstone. It's always an exciting race. There's definitely some historic moments to take from that weekend, and I have no doubt that coming off the backs of this one, and even more recently the last 3 or 4, I feel like we're in for a really great weekend. I'm sorry, my cat's meowing in the background too. He clearly agrees with my feelings.
Yeah, I agree. I think Silverstone will be like a very exciting race. Maybe we have some weather coming in, some rain maybe over there that can spice some things up.
Anton loves the rain. We know that.
Yeah, so I think we would have like possibly 3-4 teams that would be very strong on that type of circuit, high speed corners, especially after what happened today. A little bit spicy, some people still like a little bit angry at each other, maybe. I don't know. But I do hope the weather would throw in some curveballs to have a very exciting race.
No, definitely. I think the battle between Verstappen and Norris, I can't wait to get on with that and see how that extends itself, hopefully for the remaining of the season, with this track, of course, being Lando's, and not only Lando's, but a few of the drivers' home race. Definitely going to be very exciting to see, and let's hope we're in for another good one. I think by now it's also getting a little bit more difficult to predict things and to get scores right. So going to be very interesting all in all to see what happens.
Yeah, completely agree. Final one of the triple header, and I think that it's going to be possibly the best one yet, but we'll see. Time will tell. Until
all
then,
right, well, Shane,
Anton, how
thanks
about you
for
play
joining
the anthem?
Us on the podcast. Oh, sorry.
sorry.
All right. I will do that after thanking Shane for coming on for the podcast and joining us this weekend. And
thank you, Shane.
Sam, I guess.
Thank you for having me.
There's not much else to do than play that Canadian anthem. It's been playing more often for you than it has been for any of the Canadian drivers in recent times. Although I guess in the last. In the last 10 years, you haven't been very lucky with those that are on the grid. They don't typically score wins.
No, but at least
but
we can
have
one.
But they do extend contracts, so I mean,
win.
You know.
That's true. Yeah. They do extend contracts.
Wow.